hour, asteroid researcher Daniel Derda, our guest. If my calculations are correct, an asteroid came very close to planet Earth just a few days ago, 95,000 miles. That's too close for my comfort. We'll talk with Daniel about that one and a number of other near-Earth asteroids that they are tracking. Here's the latest on the Terry Schiavo situation and some of the news of the day. Terry Schiavo's parents have filed an appeal with a federal court asking that their daughter's feeding tube be reconnected. Their attorney expects a ruling very, very soon, and it better come soon because Terry is getting weaker and weaker by the moment. The move came after a federal judge early Tuesday refused to order the reinsertion of the tube. U.S. District Judge James Whittemore said the Schindlers had not established a substantial likelihood of success at the trial on the merits of their arguments. Well, late in the afternoon, the Schindlers arrived at their daughter's hospice, and Terry's mother again pleaded with state lawmakers to save her life. Please, senators, for the love of God, I'm begging you, don't let my daughter die of thirst, she said. With that, she broke down and was escorted away. Schiavo's tube was removed Friday after the Schindler's appeals to keep the tube in place failed in state court. Tuesday marked the fourth day without her feeding tube, and again, like I said, her attorneys expect some kind of federal court decision very, very soon, but the clock continues to tick. As a matter of fact, a woman from St. Francis who was living in that area where she is, Terry Schiavo is, tried to take a bottle of water into the hospice, and she was arrested and carted off, simply bringing a bottle of water there. In Portland, Oregon, in that area, a Salem, Oregon woman, it was said that she spent 12 days stranded in a bathtub after falling in because of a medical condition. She's now been rescued. 57 years old, Mary Kelso. She's in serious condition at a hospital. The police spokesman declines to describe her medical problem, but apparently she had no access to food or medications and survived the ordeal by drinking water from the faucet. Well, the police say that she was simply just too weak to get out of the tub. A friend of Kelso called the owner of the apartment building when she became concerned that she hadn't heard from her for several days. The property owner then called the police. The authorities knocked on the door. They got no answer. But then they managed to hear a bang on a wall, so they decided to go in, and that's where they found her stuck in the tub. Well, you know, we continue to talk about various diseases and epidemics. Here's the latest that they're talking about now out of Britain. They say the bird flu epidemic could kill as many as 750,000 people in Britain. That's an estimate. I'll tell you a little interesting story right at the end. Hundreds of thousands of people may die, and one quarter of the workforce would be absent if Britain were hit hard by a bird flu pandemic, they say. They say it might be somewhere between 20,000 and 750,000 extra deaths, and it may be 25% of the population off of work. So what have they decided to do in Britain? Well, they're going to write a check for $380 million to stockpile the antiviral drug Tamiflu at, again, a cost of $380 million, and just keep it on the side. So there's two camps here, right? One is that these diseases, these viruses are real, and you better prevent them, you better get ready for them. And then you've got the other camp, like the Dr. Sherry Tenpennies, the John Rappaports, who believe that this is all for economic gain. So we'll see what happens there. Some 16 to 17 million Americans, by the way, voluntarily gave up their flu shots this past winter so that the sick, the elderly, and healthcare workers were protected nearly as much as in last year, according to government officials. An immunization expert at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said coverage rates for the groups most at risk from influenza nearly matched the level of the previous flu season despite an unexpected shortage, because millions of Americans decided to forego getting the shot to help their fellow Americans. That is indeed gallant. The flu, by the way, is dramatically lower than it was in past seasons, even with less vaccinations. USA Today's reporting that more than half of the experts hired to advise the government on the safety and effectiveness of medicine have financial relationships with the pharmaceutical companies that will be helped or hurt by their decisions. These experts are hired to advise the Food and Drug Administration on which medicines should be approved for sale, what the warning labels should say, and how the studies of drugs should be designed. These experts are supposed to be independent. USA Today has found out that 54% of the time, they have a direct financial interest in the drug or topic that they are asked to evaluate. These conflicts include helping a pharmaceutical company develop a medicine, then serving on an FDA advisory committee that judges the drug. The conflicts typically include stock ownership, consulting fees, or research grants. Federal law generally prohibits the FDA from using experts with financial conflicts of interest, but apparently the FDA has waived the restriction more than 800 times since 1998. 800 times. That sad story in Minnesota where federal authorities now believe the high school student behind Monday's massacre in northern Minnesota likely plotted the attack that left 10 dead, including himself. The shooter, named by authorities as 16-year-old Jeff Wiese, was a student at the school on the Red Lake Indian Reservation. Wiese gunned down his grandfather and the man's girlfriend, put on his grandfather's police-issued belt and bulletproof vest, and then drove his marked squad car to a high school where he began shooting his classmates at will. Seven other people were wounded in the assault, five still hospitalized, two in critical conditions with wounds to the head. The rampage was the nation's worst school shooting since the Columbine High School massacre in 1999, which left 13 people dead. And you may find out that maybe he was taking antidepressant drugs, like so many of these youngsters have in the past. Strange story, by the way. Ironic indeed. At the bottom of the coasttocoastam.com website, under Hot Stories, way down there at the bottom, there's a story about Bigfoot. And the irony here is not just the pictures, which are pretty dramatic if you want to look at them, footprints in the snow. What's dramatic about the story is that these footprints of a so-called Bigfoot were also found in the Red Lake region. I've gone my whole life never knowing about Red Lake, and then within 2 days, I see two separate stories, the massacre tragedy and this one about Bigfoot in these pictures, and it's just very ironic to me. In Connecticut, a state trooper was suspended for 15 days without pay after he was recorded on a 911 tape saying, "Too bad," to a caller seeking help for a man injured in a motorcycle accident. State police say the dismissive answer by Trooper Robert Peasley did not affect the response time to the accident involving a 21-year-old Justin Sawyer, who, sadly enough, died of a severe head injury a week after the crash last August. Russell Shepard, a friend of Sawyer's, called 911, which was routed to the state police barracks in Montville, when he reported the incident. This was the first phone call.
State Police 911.
Yeah, all right. They said we rode in Pasco. Someone crashed on the streetlight.
When?
They said we rode in Pasco.
Yeah, too bad.
He said, too bad, and he hung up. Well, Shepard said he was shocked. He believed maybe he reached a wrong number. Well, another friend made a second call.
State Police.
Hi, I need to report the street bike.
What? Hello?
I need to report the street bike accident.
Is that the one over in Cincinnati Drive?
Yes.
All right, well, we'll get there. You should be playing games.
He said, help, we'll get there. You should be playing games. And he hung up. And then a third emergency call was answered by a different dispatcher.
How bad are the injuries?
He's not moving. He's bleeding out of his ear.
Is he breathing?
He's breathing, sir.
He's not breathing?
No, he's breathing.
He is breathing?
Okay. Yes.
Tell people not to touch him.
No one touch him.
And I'll start the ambulance out there to you, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Well, state police say the comments made by Peasley, the officer, an 18-year veteran, They were unprofessional, and the agency apologized. And he, again, has been suspended without pay for 15 days. A 16-year-old Canadian girl has been charged with theft after being arrested on suspicion of taking a piece of marble from the Athens Acropolis. A security guard spotted the girl and a friend removing and carrying a piece of marble from the Acropolis in central Athens. She was charged with theft of antiquities. Federal Reserve, by the way, has raised short-term interest rates another quarter point. They said they expected to keep boosting rates at a measured pace, and the central bank has put investors on notice that it was growing more concerned about inflation. The overnight bank lending rate now, this is what they get to their best customers, not us, 2.75%. And in the Santa Monica area, Santa Monica Bay in California, 3.4 magnitude earthquake today. I did not feel it, but 3.4 is really nothing to sneeze about. And also the rains continue in Los Angeles, approaching record rainfall. And the record is measured until the end of June. We've still got some more months to go, and it's just not stopping. So here are the numbers. We've got open lines for you this hour. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, 818-501-4721. And the wild card line, 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Let's go to the phones. East of the Rockies, get us started. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Oh, George Norrie?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, Paul from East Aurora, New York.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
First-time caller and long-time listener.
Well, great. Good to have you aboard.
You know, with so much going on, sadness and so on, I enjoyed that food delivery man witnessing the accident.
You know, yeah. And you know what? Every couple months, just so we can all laugh a little bit, I will play that.
Okay. And Dr. Morgus, I was wondering if any chance of having an entire program that you had similar one in the past.
I'll get him back on again.
Okay. Your book project, Utilizing the Prophets to Assist People in Need?
Yes.
Yes. I haven't heard about anything, like maybe an update, but I want to thank you for asking listeners to remember people with special needs when they if they're having a surgery or whatever. You bring that up once in a while.
Right, absolutely.
Well, something dear to my heart, George, about this Terry Schiavo case. I had a similar situation back in 1989.
What happened?
My wife was suffering with breast cancer for 2 years. And this one particular day, as she lay in her hospital bed, a nurse came in with some paperwork, and she said, "Are you interested in signing these papers?" She signed them, I signed them. And what it was, no heroics dealing with life support and so on, because her situation was deteriorating rapidly. So I was thinking that the possibility that if the Schiavo case, Terry Schiavo case, if they had the living will or the healthcare proxy in place at the time, there's a good possibility that some of these that going to this the court and all this back and forth, destroying the family structure. Son-in-law against the in-law.
Well, see, but they couldn't do that because her illness was so sudden. You know, when just everything, she had the heart attack when she went into the lack of oxygen to her brain. All that was unexpected.
Yes.
And you know, there was no anticipation of her even going into a hospital. And in your particular case, as sad as it is, you had a moment to plan.
Yes.
And, okay. And that's what happened there. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Next up, our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yes, it is.
This is Virginia in Ohio.
Hi, Virginia.
Hi. I'm listening on 55 KRC.
Mm-hmm.
About two Thursdays ago, I believe a woman called in with a story. I missed the first part, and I was hoping you could fill it in for me. But it ended with a crow landing on a young boy's head.
Oh, yes.
Preventing his going into traffic.
It's a tremendous, tremendous phone call story.
Yes, I love that. I wondered if you could tell me the first part.
Well,
I missed it.
Let me tell you what had happened.
Okay.
A woman called and said that she had a friend who came home from work one day, and she saw, stuck between the slats of a wooden fence, a crow. I don't know how it got there, but it was stuck between these slats, okay? Picture that for a moment. She went up to try to get the crow and get it released, and it started pecking at her, so she went in and put some gloves on, and somehow she was able to squeeze the crow through the slats. It was fine. It took off. It flew away. Move ahead a day or two.
Mm-hmm.
The little boy is coming out of his door, out of his house. He sees the mother coming home. He's so excited, he's running across the street to greet her. He doesn't see an oncoming truck. He continues running. He's going to get hit. He's going to get killed. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, a crow comes flying and pecks the kid on the head to the point where it startles him. He stops. He doesn't run into the street. He's saved. The crow flies away. The truck, of course, never hits the little boy. End of story. I think it's the same crow.
Oh, that is a wonderful story.
Yep.
I just love that. I wanted to know the beginning, and I appreciate your letting me know that.
That's it. Thanks.
You're welcome, and thank you.
All right, let's move to our first-time caller line. Welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah, George?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Roy from Kansas.
Hi there. What's going on?
Oh, I had a ghost story for you. I'm glad I got through.
It's all yours. Go ahead.
I had a farmer in Kansas about 3 years ago. In World War II, a B-17 bomber had crashed and killed 14 of the soldiers on that plane in that area on my farm.
Okay.
I ended up having a ghost there for... I ended up selling the farm, but he interacted with us for a long time.
You think it was one of those soldiers?
I do believe. That's the only thing I can figure.
What are some of the things he did, Roy?
Boy, I could go on and on, but I'll tell you some of the... It was never anything that was mean. It was just mischievous. He locked me in a grain bin one time. he was really... teased my wife a lot.
Soldiers could do that once in a while.
Yeah. one thing that was really odd, that he would reveal himself, or it would reveal himself, to the dogs and some of the farm animals.
So they could see him, you think?
Yeah, I really do. I've had the dog just stare at about 2 o'clock in the air and just bark like he was scared or something. The hair raised up on his back, but there wouldn't be anything there.
That is neat. I love ghost stories. By the way, our next program tomorrow will be one heck of a ghost story. Make sure you're listening. You're going to love it.
I sure will. I listen all the time.
Okay, you take care.
Thank you.
All right, you too. And for a moment, he was scaring me for just a moment. This is a family-oriented program, and he was talking about how the ghost would reveal himself. I didn't know where he was going, but all worked out, didn't it? If you need to email me, it's George at coasttocoastam.com, our website, coast2to, coasttocoastam.com, where we get millions of hits a week, most of them from just one person. But no, I'm kidding about that, too. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue right here on Coast to Coast AM.